Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this, well, I guess it's still kind of camp meeting weekend. Welcome to this Prophecy News Podcast. Today, Joe Biden and the Bill Gates-funded World Health Organization issues urgent warning, exclamation point, that monkeypox is accelerating. Oh, I'm not making this up. Here we are on day 798 of 15 days to flatten the curve, and it's cold and flu, no, COVID, no, blood clot, no, monkeypox season. So says every news outlet in the Western Hemisphere. If you've been to the Drudge Report in the last 60 minutes, you'll see seven headlines screaming monkeypox. Well, as the outbreak explodes across Europe, doctors are warning of new infections of the disease that is being detected on a daily basis and will, quote, rise significantly, end quote. Does Bill Gates have a vaccine to save the world from monkeypox? Well, let's find out. Ecclesiastes 1:9, very appropriate verse for today's topic. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Basically, Solomon was saying what comes around goes around. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, are you starting to get the feeling that the New World Order has a seemingly endless array of crises and calamities all lined up like little airplanes on a runway and just releasing them one after the other? Well, you should feel that way, because that's exactly what it feels like to me. Now, I'm sure it's unrelated, but the other day Bill Gates released a video showing a totally staged visit to a massive vaccine warehouse facility in Abu Dhabi. Hello, Mohammed bin Zayed. The same place, mind you, as the birth of Chrislam and the soon-to-be-opened Abrahamic Family House in the fall. The World Health Organization, also funded by Bill Gates to the tune of $4.1 billion, Bill Gates is the largest private funder of the WHO, well, they are now warning that monkeypox could accelerate this summer, and my gut feeling tells me that they're probably right. But one thing's for sure, when they release the new vaccine, I won't be taking that one either. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all these you've gathered here. We thank you, Lord, for a great camp meeting weekend and everything that you got done. And man, Dana Bragdon sent me a message and she said, testimony after camp meeting, last day hotel breakfast, an elderly gentleman bent over talking as was eating to anyone. So sweet. I started talking to him and I think he's alone. Nobody paid him any attention, but we did. He showed us his broken gold watch and the hand on it broken. And Dana says, Jesus flowed through us like nothing you've ever seen. Soon all the people eating saw our kindness and were listening. We had on our NTEB t-shirts and the love of Jesus was there. Amen. And that's exactly what I was hoping for with the camp meeting, that people would catch a piece of that revival fire and take it back to Maine and North Carolina and Ohio and Seattle and Montana and all the other places. And that seems to be what's happening. And then Dana says at the Walgreens, we had a woman behind us say, I love your t-shirt. And I gave her the gospel track and asked her if she had anybody who was in need of prayer. And she told her how we pray for people on the program. She said that she, the woman that Dana and her husband Mike were talking to, has stage 4 cancer. And Dana says, I prayed for her right there. Her name is Anita. I know she will be listening. All glory to God for those divine appointments. Amen. We're going to pray for Anita today in her battle with cancer. Carolyn says, everyone, it hits home with me also. My youngest son passed away in a drowning accident 18 years ago. Thank goodness he was saved. That's a great comfort to me. Amen. Amen, Carolyn. Please pray for street preacher Marie. She got a twisted ankle this morning, but God has given her the victory. She's getting ready to fly home. Please keep Liam and Haley in your prayers as they get ready to go home, and Stephanie and Mike and everybody who's working their way back. Please keep everybody in prayer. And also, please pray for Trisha with a hip injection later this afternoon. She has some hip issues, and she needs to get an injection, and she's hoping and praying that it will solve the problem. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Thank you for waking us up today. Thank you for working so heavily in our camp meeting, just beyond my expectations. And I was hoping that it would be just as good as last year, and to me personally, it far exceeded last year. And Lord, you just showed up, and there were so many blessings that were received from you, spiritual blessings, and we just thank you and we praise you. We pray for Anita, who is battling cancer, that you would give her the victory, Lord, and that she would read that gospel tract that Dana gave her, that she would get saved if she's not saved already. And Anita, if you're listening, the Bible says that if you shall believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God has raised Jesus from the dead and that you confess him as Lord, you shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. And let me just go pull up that verse because I mangled it just a little bit. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And we are praying for you, absolutely. Also, Lord, we pray for Annetta. And I don't know if she's listening today. Maybe she is. But Lord, just please let her know that we're all praying for her, that we love her. And God, we are believing that you'll heal her from that stroke, get her out of the bed, get her back on her feet. And Lord, we just lift her up to you and ask you to do a mighty, mighty work in her life. Lord, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, Adam and Katie just said gave some tracks along with chick tracks to John and April. Please pray for John and April's salvation. Jenny is asking, does this mean we have to reset the days to reset the curve for monkeypox? No, it's the same curve. That's the whole point. And today is day 798. And Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We ask you to lead us and guide us as always. And we commit this time to you. Shea Caster just said, our God is an awesome God. Bruce Bridges is getting a little bit spiritually thin, looking at the signs of the times. And Lord, give our brother Bruce much comfort today. And Derek and his mom, Patricia, over in Dublin, Ireland, be with them, Lord, and give them strength and comfort and courage. And Shea Caster says, our God is an awesome God, and he absolutely is. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and lead us and guide us and wash us clean. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So. Today is monkeypox day. I don't mean to be flippant about it, but you know what? No, wait, hold on. Maybe I do. Maybe I do. Here we are at day 798 of 15 days to flatten the curve. We're dealing with World War III, China getting ready to invade Taiwan. There's only one way to open up this program that I know of. Here we are at day 798 of 15 days to flatten the curve, and there is only one way to open up this program, and we're going to open up the program today with DJ Eugenics. Hey, hey, it's Monkeypox Remix.
For President Biden, the surprise of this first trip to Asia is not the work to build diplomatic alliances and economic ties, not the visit to thank U.S. troops.
First of all, I want to say thank you.
The unexpected is that another health threat, growing cases of monkeypox, demands his attention.
Here we come, walk down the street. We get the funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and People say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
And so I'm hoping in 5 years I can write a book called, you know, we are ready for the next pandemic, but it'll take tens of billions in R&D that the U.S. and the U.K. will be part of that. It'll take probably about $1 billion a year for a pandemic task force at the WHO level, which is doing the surveillance and actually doing what I call germ games, where you practice. You say, okay, what if a bioterrorist brought smallpox to 10 airports, you know?
We go wherever we want to, do what we like to do. We don't have time to get restless, there's always something new.
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. Come and watch us sing and play. We're the young generation, and we've got something to say.
Is there something to worry about with medicines? That is, might some of them have side effects? Do we need safety testing? I mean, we're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
Oh. Any time. Or anywhere, just look over your shoulder, guess who'll be standing there?
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. With trillions at its disposal, far beyond global GDP, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders, it offers the only real prospect of achieving fundamental economic transition.
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
And we're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
And the time to act is now.
Are you crazy? Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's impossible.
Is it? Or is it so possible that your head is spinning like a top?
It can't be.
Can it? Or is your entire world just crashing down all around you?
All right, that's enough.
Yeah!
All right, that's enough. But you know what? Shakespeare said, many a true thing is said in jest. And we are talking, we're having a little bit of fun with monkeypox today. And the graphic that I made of Joe Biden as a monkey eating a banana, while Bill Gates looking on with a huge hypodermic needle behind his back. But many a true thing is said in jest, and we are quite serious about what's going on. Now, I'm sure that this is just a total coincidence, and I'm sure this has nothing to do with anything, but do you remember back in September, October of 2019, there was a little event created by Bill Gates called Event 201, and he gave away this delightful little stuffed animal of a deadly COVID virus that went on to kill 1 million people. But what a great thing to come home and cuddle with. I think that would be fantastic. What type of sick person would do that? Well, Bill Gates did that. And the funny thing is about Event 201, it wargamed the idea of what would happen if there was a global outbreak of COVID, of coronavirus. What would happen if there was a global outbreak of coronavirus? And in their imaginary scenario, they just imagined for a moment that the outbreak was going to take place in China. Well, that's an amazing guess. That's almost prophetical or psychic or something. I don't know what you would call it. Maybe Bill Gates went and consulted with the witch at Endor, and that's what she told him. But you know what? Just a couple of months after Event 201, magically, you had a global outbreak that we are still dealing with. When I go to Google, let me go to Google right now and let me type in COVID, if I can spell it right, COVID rates. And let's see what the COVID rates are today. Oh, they are up. They are up 200% in St. John's County. In the last 10 days, 870 new cases of COVID have been reported in St. John's County. So we are not starting a new timeline, because the old timeline, we never got off the old timeline. So today is 798 days of 15 days to flatten the curve. And here we are with monkeypox. But did you know that the very first case of COVID that was reported in America, it was reported just 10 miles from Bill Gates' front door up in Washington State, where he lived at the time? I think that's an amazing coincidence. Don't you? I do. And we wrote about it back in 2020. We wrote, in an amazing coincidence, the first reported case of coronavirus, COVID, in the United States was in Washington State, mere miles from Bill Gates' home. Mere miles from Bill Gates' home was the very, very first case of COVID-19 coronavirus in the United States. Is that a coincidence? Seems to be a pretty good coincidence. So why am I talking about Event 201 in relationship to COVID-19? Well, because in March of 2021, a group called NTI partnered with the Munich Security Conference, and they conducted a tabletop exercise simulating a global pandemic involving an unusual strain of monkeypox. I'm not kidding you. You can look it up. This is 100% true. A group called NTI in March of 2021, at the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, they began to work on the next pandemic. And this group called NTI began to partner with this company called the Munich Security Conference, and they conducted an exercise on what would happen if a lab-engineered monkeypox virus was somehow released into the general population. Well, here we are a little bit more than a year and 2 months after that simulation, and I just put a graphic into the chat room, and you can see right here in scenario number one, monkeypox outbreak. And then you go through the various scenarios. Scenario number two, monkeypox has been engineered to be vaccine resistant. You need stronger vaccines. You need better vaccines. We've been playing multiple clips of Bill Gates, and he's showing you vaccines are never going away. And of course, we know that they're not vaccines. Stefan Ulrich from Bayer Pharmaceuticals, he says that it is gene editing. So whatever you call it, gene editing, vaccine, it's never, ever going to go away. There's going to be no such thing as natural immunity or herd immunity or anything like that. So we're living in a time of great deception. Turn to Matthew chapter 24 for a second. I want to show you the very, very first sign of the end times. The very, very first sign of the end times. Matthew 24 verses 1-4. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, period. So the disciples are asking him about the entire end times timeline. And just as the days of Noah began with the one person rapture of Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, we can assume that the timeline of the end times starts with the rapture and goes all the way to Revelation chapter 20, with the great white throne judgment and heaven and earth being destroyed and recreated. So when you talk about the end times timeline, it is the rapture of the church all the way to Revelation chapter 20 with the great white throne judgment. that is the end times timeline. And the end times does not stop until you get to Revelation chapter 21. The end times does not stop until you get to Revelation chapter 21 and you read, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That is the official start of eternity and the official end of the end times timeline. So if you're going to look at the day of the Lord, and I was talking with Carol about this yesterday when we were having a fellowship lunch after the street preaching, and we were talking about the end times timeline, and she asked me if we could do a Bible study. We haven't done it probably in about a year on the complete end times timeline. Well, the actual end times timeline starts with the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, and it goes all the way to Revelation chapter 20, the very, very end, where you have the great white throne judgment and heaven and earth has been blown up and recreated. So when the apostles are asking him in Matthew 24 verses 1-4 to talk about the end times timeline, which is really, that's what their question actually is. And as they sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? They're talking about the entire end times timeline that starts with the rapture. And Jesus said, the very, very first thing that you got to pay attention to is take heed that no man deceive you. Now, for those of you who have not taken the vaccine, and for those of you like me who have not taken the vaccine or the booster shot, here we are on day 798. Over 1 million people have died from COVID. Aren't you glad that you didn't take the vaccine? Aren't you glad that you didn't waver? And look, I'll be really honest with you guys. Well, I always am. I always try to be. There was a moment when my friend Mark Bennett died in his hospital bed in a medical coma. And him and his wife and his 2-year-old kid had, they all got COVID, but he had a very, very bad reaction to it. None of them were vaccinated. His wife made it through fine. His son made it through fine. He did not make it through, and he died about 6 days later. And when that happened, that was the moment that I had my come to Jesus moment, and I began to get a little bit worried. And I said, Lord, am I doing the right thing? not taking the vaccine, not taking the booster shot? Am I doing the right thing, encouraging other people to not take it? And the Lord said, well, if you believe that you've been hearing from me this whole time, then keep trusting me and keep following me. And I said, okay, Lord, you are my great physician. You are my doctor. You made my immune system. If you want to keep me safe, you can keep me safe. And I did not take the vaccine and I did not take the booster shot. And I'm very, very glad that I didn't, especially watching people that I know have very, very bad reactions to the vaccine. I know one or two people who have gotten a stroke from having the vaccine. I know dozens of people who tell me that they have friends and family who have had very, very, very bad reactions to the vaccine. So I'm glad that I didn't take it. And I'm glad that I believed God and I didn't believe the oppositions of science, falsely so-called. And if you didn't take the vaccine, I'm thinking at this point, you're probably really glad that you did not take the vaccine. I have this clip here from just a couple of days ago, Bill Gates. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about monkeypox. Bill Gates was talking with Anderson Cooper from CNN. And take a listen to some of the things that Bill Gates talked about just a couple of days ago with Anderson Cooper.
A new report finds one half of COVID deaths among adult Americans could have been prevented since early last year if the vaccination rate had reached 100%. That's about 319,000 lives lost. The findings come from researchers at Brown University, Brigham and Women's Hospital, Harvard, and Microsoft AI for Health. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates warned of the threat from large epidemics more than 7 years ago during the Ebola outbreak. In his new book, How to Prevent the Next Pandemic, he looks at what went wrong in the COVID response and the lessons that can be applied going forward. Pleased to welcome Bill Gates back to the program tonight. Bill, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to talk to you.
So first of all, I should mention that something we both have in common. We both managed to go for more than 2 years of this pandemic COVID-free before catching it. I got it about 3 weeks ago. On Tuesday, you tweeted you tested positive and you were experiencing mild symptoms. How are you doing?
No, I'm very lucky. I caught it early. I had access to Paxlovid that I recommend. And so I haven't had serious symptoms at all.
As you know, the White House mourned the or marked the milestone yesterday of 1 million COVID deaths in this country. Back when this started, I mean, when you and I first started speaking about this, did you think it would come to this, 1 million deaths?
You know, we knew that there was a lot we didn't know, but 1 million would have been at the very high end. We underestimated that these new variants would be so transmissive. Omicron is very hard to block the transmission. The vaccines have been the miracle, but even there, they don't block some amount of infection.
So here you have Bill Gates saying that the vaccines have been the miracle, the same vaccines that he's been pushing relentlessly day and night. But did you also catch what he said? He said, hey, Anderson, I took Paxlovid, so I had no problem and I had very mild symptoms. Why was Bill Gates giving the credit for his low symptoms to Paxlovid? Why wasn't he saying that, oh yeah, I'm vaccine boosted, I had no problem? But he didn't say that. He said that he took Paxlovid, which is a Pfizer antiviral. Kind of funny that he would say something like that.
You know, I had four vaccines, the last one just a few weeks ago. So you get these breakthrough infections. That means we still have a lot of transmission. But, you know, 1 million is quite horrific.
So you had two vaccinations and then two booster shots. Is that right?
That's right. And, you know, for people over, 50 or 60, they'll probably have to be boosted every 6 months until we get even better vaccines.
So I've been trying to figure this out for myself. I assume you know the answer to this, so I'll just ask you.
So let's stop them right there. Bill Gates, he just told you that the vaccines aren't going away. Until we get to the next generation vaccine, the government's going to be pushing it every 6 months. And then you just heard Anderson Cooper say to Bill, you're the expert, Bill, so I'll just ask you. And what is Bill Gates the expert on? I'm really struggling to comprehend that. Is he an epidemiologist? Is he a biologist? Is he a scientist? Is he a retrovirologist? He is none of those things. He's a college dropout whose mother started Microsoft with a cash infusion from her buddies over at IBM. But you see, this is how they plant the seeds. You know, we'll ask you, Bill Gates, Microsoft man, because you're the expert on COVID-19. You're the expert on vaccines and mRNA technology. You see, this is how they do it.
When do you get boosted again? I mean, now that you've had it, you know, I've had it around the same time. I've only gotten 3 shots total, only been boosted once. I guess we have immunity for a little while, but when do you decide to get boosted again?
So an infection where you'll get a high viral load would be like vaccination. But, you know, to be safe, every 6 months, you're probably going to be vaccinated. As we get more data, they might even make that shorter for people who are, say 60 or over 70, where the duration seems to be a bit lower. So we're in for ongoing vaccination to stay absolutely safe.
So this is what, I mean.
So we are in for ongoing vaccination so that we can stay absolutely safe. Now, you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, we have played the clips over and over and over again on how they have lied about the vaccines and about what they would do and how it would stop the virus. And I played the clips of both Joe Biden and Donald Trump saying that if you get the vaccine, you won't catch COVID. And if you do catch COVID, it won't be bad. And if it is bad, you won't go to the hospital. And if you do go to the hospital, you won't die. And none of those things turned out to be true. 50% of all COVID deaths are vaccinated and boosted people. 50%.
You and I have tried to ask you about what the future looks like every time I've talked to you. And obviously it's a hard thing to know, but given what we know now with all these variants that just seem to emerge every, you know, pretty regularly, is the future for much of the rest of our lives just this is this thing that exists and like a flu vaccine, you are going to get something every year or every 6 months and we just have to deal with it? Is that what the future of coronavirus is?
I don't know about you, but when Anderson Cooper just said that right now, this is what I thought of. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 7. 1 Samuel 28:7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring him up, who I shall name unto thee. Isn't that exactly what Anderson Cooper just said to Bill Gates, where he said, Bill, tell us what the future holds. What's coming in the future? Do you realize how sad and pathetic? If you know anything about your Bible, if you spend any amount of time reading your Bible, if you believe anything written in your King James Bible, and you hear absolute ludicrous nonsense like Bill Gates, please tell us the future. That is nothing less Then King Saul going to the witch at Endor and said, divine unto me a familiar spirit whom I shall name. Tell us the future, Bill Gates. The future that you're creating. Yes. Bill Gates is very well qualified to answer his question. Why? Well, the same guy who brought you Event 201, the same guy who said in 2010 that the way to keep the global population down is through abortion and vaccinations. You don't think Bill Gates knows a little bit about the future? I think he does.
For the next several years, we probably won't have better vaccines. But one of the R&D things that we should invest in to really finish this off is longer duration, lifelong duration vaccines, and vaccines that prevent you from even getting infected. So you can start to get that herd immunity we talked about. That sort of assumed that people who are vaccinated or infected weren't part of transmission chains. And we don't have that yet. And so we're going to have slight outbreaks. But if a tough new variant came along, which, you know, we don't know the odds of that, we could have a big wave. So people are tired of hearing about this pandemic, and sadly, we need to keep reminding them, particularly about staying up to date on vaccinations.
People are tired about hearing of this pandemic. We're at day 798. People are tired about hearing of this pandemic, but you know what? Too bad, because we're not going to let this thing go away anytime soon.
So how real is that idea of a vaccine that vaccinates you from any future coronavirus? I mean, what needs to happen? Is the technology there? Is it just a question of investment? What?
Well, the breadth of protection, you know, we need to work on that, the duration and that blocking the infection. And we have three constructs at an early stage that have promise there. But, you know, unfortunately, the current vaccines are good enough that if we just keep taking those, then at least in terms of severe disease and death, you have very good protection. I'd hope the duration would be longer, but the data coming out says that if you're older, it's not good enough. You need to keep revaccinating.
You had Paxlovid, you've had the vaccines. Do you worry about the long COVID with the infection that you got?
Long COVID is an area that there's a lot of research on. You know, there's a ton of things about heart or diabetes that people are worried about there. I'd say we really don't know much, but it does look like if you have a mild case, which I'm lucky enough to be having, that the likelihood of long COVID is very low. And so, again, it's a strong thing that if you do get infected, getting access to the Paxlovid or other antivirals or antibodies as fast as you can is well worth it, because your risk of long COVID, it looks like, is dramatically lower.
So there he is again saying, yes, absolutely, get double and triple vaccinated, get boosted once, twice, three times, but you have to take Paxlovid or it's not really going to work. You see how these liars talk? They speak out of both sides of their face at the same time. That is the clinical definition of a hypocrite. It is two masks of the same face speaking in two different directions at the same time.
Are you still positive now? Do you know?
No. Today I had a number of negative tests. I got the most sensitive PCR test that I'll get later tonight. So, okay. It looks like I've been very lucky with a mild case.
That's great. In your book, you know, you cite the incredible speed with which COVID-19 vaccine was created, rolled out 50% of the global population as compared to other diseases like polio and measles. You rightly champion it. Obviously, it's a wonder of modern science. But there is this paradox that the speed at which it was created also increased perhaps some hesitancy, and I guess, and has fueled these conspiracy theories. Is it possible to get past that at this point? I mean, do you think people's ideas about the vaccine have already been baked in?
So here we get to the fun part of the interview with Anderson Cooper. And now, of course, they're going to make fun of all the people who tell the truth about Bill Gates. And he's going to talk about, oh, the conspiracy theories and all of that nonsense. There's no conspiracy theories about Bill Gates. It's just a bunch of people figuring out the truth and talking about it. There's no conspiracy theory.
Well, the hesitancy did go down somewhat. You know, initially it was like at 60% of the population. But as they saw their friends getting vaccinated and very rare side effects, as they saw their friends being protected and the people with severe disease were overwhelmingly the unvaccinated, most people came around. Now, the U.S. still has a lower...
Now, what is he talking about that we watched people with very rare side effects? I watched friends get strokes and heart attacks. And I had other friends who had loved ones who died after being injected with the vaccine. My childhood friend, Scott Thaler, and we're praying for his salvation. Just a couple of months after getting fully vaxxed and boosted, he came down with blood cancer. I don't know what he's talking about, very rare side effects.
Full vaccination rate than many other countries. So we still need to figure out who do those people trust? Are they open-minded because it's to their benefit and to the people around them? So I'm surprised that the U.S., it's been this tough and even, you know, somewhat a political thing. But, you know, we need to be creative at how we get people to see it, you know, and hear about people they know that suffered from not fully protecting themselves.
How do you deal with conspiracy theories? You know, there people believe you're tracking people through microchips inserted mm-hmm. into the vaccine.
Oh, we do.
I mean, given what you and the Gates Foundation and your former wife, Melinda, have done to help, you know, deal, I mean, just save millions of people's lives around the world for vaccinations for polio, nearly wiping out polio. I mean, how do you deal with it when people have these ideas?
So now Bill Gates is getting credit for nearly wiping out polio? I mean, that is ludicrous. Polio hasn't ravaged the world since Bill Gates was 5 years old. But Anderson Cooper of CNN, he just gave Bill Gates credit for single-handedly eradicating polio. You see how these people lie?
He is a bad guy.
Well, I'm not sure I know how to get rid of it. You know, simple explanations are kind of fun to click on, and they seem to spread and, you know, fill some, okay, there must be, you know, rather than this complex biology, maybe there's just some bad person behind this. You know, we've given billions for vaccines and saved millions of lives. If you just kind of invert that and say, no, we're, you know, trying to make money from vaccines and, you know, not trying to save lives, that's, you know, a popular conspiracy theory. The one about tracking people, I don't know why they think I'm interested in knowing, you know, people's locations. That one I still have to laugh at, but if it's holding people back from getting vaccinated, then that's tragic.
All right, so I want to focus. I played that whole clip. That clip was pretty long. It was about an 8-minute clip. But I wanted to be fair to Bill Gates and Anderson Cooper, and I wanted you to hear it in its full context. Now, the last thing that Bill Gates said is, I don't know why people think that I'm tracking other people, right? And he's been on numerous interviews where he says this and everybody laughs, right? Well, take a listen to this from his last TED Talk.
What we'll have to have is certificates of who's a recovered person, who's a vaccinated person, because you don't want people moving around the world where you'll have some countries that won't have it under control. Sadly, you don't want to completely block off the ability for those, you know, people to go there and come back and move around.
So eventually there will be sort of this digital immunity proof that, you know, will help facilitate the global reopening up.
Now, do you see why people think that Bill Gates wants to track people? If you're listening, Bill, it has nothing to do with the conspiracy. It has to do with talks and books you write and things you say and interviews that you give. It's the words that come out of your own mouth that make us believe that you're looking to put the entire world under digital identification surveillance. And maybe, Bill, maybe that's what you were thinking about when you used Microsoft money to start a company called the ID 2020 Alliance. Maybe you were thinking about that when you created the ID 2020 Alliance, whose mission statement is to give every single human being on the face of the earth a vaccination that is tied to digital identification. So don't give us, the people who pay attention to what you say, don't give us more of your nonsense. We know that you want to give every single human being on the face of the earth multiple repeated vaccinations. And we know that you want to give every single person on the face of the earth human implantable microchip digital identification because you created ID 2020. Because you talk about all these things. This isn't some conspiracy theory, Bill. This is based on what you actually say and what you actually do. That's what we're basing it on. Now, here's a fun fact. We did this article, October 26th of 2021. And here was the headline of that article from last year. Yes, Bill Gates is working around the clock to bring a global identification system based on the COVID immunity passport to every nation on Earth. Now, that was the headline that we wrote. Now, what did we base that on? Well, we based it on the work that Bill Gates has been doing for years in places like India. Now, maybe you're not up on global news and information. There's no excuse for it if you're a regular listener to the podcast, because we talk about these things all the time. But in India, there is a database called the Aadhaar Biometric Digital ID Program. And Bill Gates was one of the main funders and supporters of the Aadhaar Biometric Digital ID Program. Why would they do it in a country like India? Well, for one, India is a very, very poor country. Two, India has a lot of people. Three, it is easy for Bill Gates to get into countries that has a high level of poverty because of his unique relationship that he purchased for $4.1 billion because of his unique relationship with the World Health Organization. So, Bill Gates, he went to India, and he has a billionaire buddy there by the name of Nandan Nilekani. And Nandan Nilekani is a billionaire Indian, and he is good friends with Bill Gates. And they put their heads together, and Bill Gates put his money behind the Aadhaar Biometric Digital ID Program. Now, did you know that in India, every school child is required to carry their own unique QR code? It is their daily pass. If a student doesn't have their barcode, they are not allowed to enter into the school. Now, you might say to yourself, well, that could never come to America. And if you were to say that, that would be one of the most ignorant things that you could possibly say. Why do I say that? Because we told you, let's see here. Let me pull up the exact article. But we wrote about something called the Daily Pass. Who created it? Microsoft. Where did they roll it out? In the Los Angeles Unified School District. When did they do it? In October of 2021. All you have to do is go to nowtheendbegins.com and do a search on the words Daily Pass, and you'll see three or four different articles that we wrote exposing what Bill Gates is doing not in India, but in Los Angeles. California being the largest single state economy in the United States. So you have to understand that these things, now look, we love our brothers and sisters in India and Africa and all these far-flung places, but if you're like me, you will probably never travel to India. You'll probably never travel to Africa, mainly because what would bring you there, and that type of travel is very time-consuming, and it's very expensive. I would love to see India. I would love to see Africa. I would love to go on a safari. But I can't afford to do that time-wise, money-wise. Who can do that? So we have a tendency to think of these places as being, well, you have the moon, you have Mars, you have India, you have Africa. To us here in America, it seems like it's really, really, really far away. But the things that are being done in places like India and Africa, those are test laboratories. And this is why Bill Gates has donated so much money to the World Health Organization, so that he can get in the phone and he can call up his buddies at the WHO and he can say, hey, we need to do an expedition to Africa. We want to do some tests on a new vaccine that we're working on. And so the World Health Organization, which some of you may or may not know, is under the banner of the United Nations. They allow Bill Gates to go to places like India, and he can just do what he wants to do, and they let him do it. And that's a fact. Why do you think he started the Bill Gates Foundation anyway? Well, we reported to you, we have the answer. We reported on August 26th of 2020, Columbia Journalism Review exposes how the Bill Gates Foundation spends millions to control news outlets and social media fact checkers. Bill Gates has created fact checking companies, and he sponsors fact checking companies. Why? Because he wants them to check those facts in a way that is favorable to himself. There is one company, and if you guys are listening, I think you guys are the bottom feeders. I think you are the guys that look up at the scum on the bottom of the toilet bowl, NewsGuard. You know who I'm talking about. If you're listening, and I know you listen because you guys email me all the time, you guys are scum, and you guys do nothing but spread lies and say things about Bill Gates that are not even close to being true. You protect him under the banner of fact-checking. All right, I had my rant, back with the podcast. In June of 2020, Bill Gates plowed no less than $250 million into grants going directly to mainstream journalism. Now, you ask yourself this question. If you're CNN or MSNBC or NPR, ABC, CBS, and Bill Gates gives you $10 million, $15 million, $50 million, are you going to write stories that are unfavorable to Mr. Gates? Maybe you will, but it would have to be a really, really, really big story. But it's 90% likely that unless Bill Gates turns out to be a serial killer with a handgun at the local mall, that you're not going to ever report the truth about Bill Gates. Well, the people at Columbia Journalism, they decided to take a look into Bill Gates. And the outlets which take his money, BBC, NBC, Al Jazeera, ProPublica, National Journal, The Guardian, Univision, Medium, Financial Times, The Atlantic, Gannett News, Le Monde, Vox News, and many, many more. And these are all news outlets that in 2020 took a combined total of $250 million from Bill Gates and his foundation that is, it's only there to protect himself and to advance his end times agenda. That's the only reason why that foundation exists. So, where are you going to find truth? The Bible says that truth is fallen in the streets. And just like that commercial from the 80s, truth is fallen and it can't get up. And every time it tries to rear its head, people like Bill Gates and George Soros, they take out their multi-billion dollar steel toe boots and they step it back down. So we live in a day and age where truth is very, very, very hard to come by. And if you're willing to tell the truth about people like Bill Gates, you're going to wind up getting suspended on Twitter, banned on Facebook, and you're going to have people like the sycophant minions from NewsGuard. I don't think I'm done talking about those people. You're going to have these people from NewsGuard hounding your every move. And you guys wrote to me about, a couple of weeks ago, demanding that I give some sort of feedback about an article that I wrote, and I told you in no uncertain terms that I would not. And then you said, okay, here's your rating. Here's my rating. Well, here's your rating. You want to hear your rating? Let me give you your rating according to the King James Bible. Psalms 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." That's your rating, unless you repent and you get right with Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says this about lost people, NewsGuard. Psalm chapter 2, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth, Bill Gates, George Soros, have Anthony Fauci, have set themselves Emmanuel Macron, Mohammed bin Zayed. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.'" What does God say? Psalm 2, verse 4. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." So that's your rating, NewsGuard. That's what's coming for you if you guys don't repent. And for those of you who don't know NewsGuard, if you use a browser like Microsoft Edge, which maybe you and three other people in the whole world use, the Microsoft Edge is possibly the worst browser that you could ever possibly use. But if you do use it, that's where NewsGuard is embedded into the browser. And when you do searches for sites like Now the End Begins, it's going to come up with a rating. And it's going to tell you what NewsGuard thinks of sites like, Now the End Begins, Rapture Ready, places like that. So this is what Bill Gates is spending his money on. And he can't figure out why there's all this conspiracy theory about him. But there is no conspiracy theory. We are just simply telling the truth about Bill Gates and the nefarious activity that he does. And we like telling you about it. So here we are on day 798 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And now we're dealing with monkeypox. We're dealing with the impending invasion of Taiwan by China. We're still dealing with Russia and possibly seeing Vladimir Putin taken down in some way. We talked about that last week. I don't know if that will actually happen. But we're living in a time where the crazy people seem to be in charge. Take a listen to Tucker saying these people are lunatics. Take a listen.
First, good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson tonight. Last May, a 17-year-old high school senior called Peyton Gendron received an assignment in his economics class. The assignment asked, "What do you want to do when you retire?" He answered, "Commit murder-suicide." Gendron's teacher immediately reported his threat to authorities, who sent him to the emergency room for a psychiatric evaluation. Gendron was there for just 20 hours. As he wrote later in his diary, quote, "I got out of it because I stuck with the story that I was getting out of class, and I just stupidly wrote that down. That's the reason I believe I am still able to purchase guns." But he was lying. Gendron's intention to commit mass murder was, as he later wrote, quote, "not a joke. I wrote that down because that's what I was planning to do." And he was. Peyton Gendron was mentally ill. His classmates knew that. Gendron made strange facial expressions and said odd things in class. Last year, he showed up for school for a full week wearing a hazmat suit. Boots, gloves, everything, recalled another student. Police and school administrators understood perfectly well that Gendron was potentially dangerous. That's why they sent him to the psych ward. Even his own parents must have known that something was very wrong. Gendron's diary describes how his mother helped him bury a cat he had beaten to death in their garage and then beheaded with a hatchet. On Saturday, Peyton Gendron, as you know, finally did what he said he would do. He committed mass murder. He opened fire on a crowd of strangers in a Buffalo supermarket. He murdered 10 of them. So how did the adults around him let this happen? In a country with functioning leadership, we would be asking that question. The signs of mental illness were certainly there. The people in charge missed those signs or didn't take them seriously enough, weren't paying close enough attention. In any case, they didn't fix it. They let a killer slip through. So what did they do wrong with Peyton Gendron, and how can we learn from it? We should learn from it if we want to prevent more mass murders. But that's not at all what our leaders are asking tonight, hardly. Instead, they're asking the only question that ever occurs to them. How exactly can I benefit from this? How can I leverage this tragedy to my advantage? How can other people's suffering make me more powerful? It didn't take long for Joe Biden to find a way. Biden flew to Buffalo this morning to speak about what Peyton Gendron did. There have been a number of mass murders since Biden became president. Some of them have been racially motivated. A little over a year ago, in fact, there was even another supermarket massacre that happened to have the same casualty total. A Syrian-born man murdered 10 people in Boulder, Colorado. He even used the same caliber rifle that Patron Gendron brought to Buffalo. But Joe Biden didn't bother to fly to that crime scene. He didn't go to any of them, in fact. Biden went to Buffalo today because he thought he could blame his political opponents for what happened there, which, of course, he promptly did. Watch.
And other nations ask me, heads of state in other countries, ask me, what's going on? What in God's name happened on January 6th? What happened in Buffalo? What happened? They ask.
January 6th and the Buffalo massacre. So how is a political protest at the Capitol related to a murder spree by a demented teenager in New York State over the weekend? What do those two events have in common? And who exactly are these unnamed heads of state who are connecting these non-connected events in conversations with Joe Biden? You may have wondered that, but don't ask, because it's not meant to be asked. It is instead a dream sequence. It's a rhetorical device meant to connect everything that might challenge Joe Biden and bunch all of these things together in the same repulsive moral category. January 6th, mass murder, the bubonic plague, it's all the same. It's all bad. And because it's bad, Joe Biden informed us today, after 250 years, we're going to have to suspend the Bill of Rights. And we're going to begin where the Bill of Rights begins, with the freedom of speech.
You can't prevent people from being radicalized to violence. But we can address the relentless exploitation of the Internet to recruit and mobilize terrorism.
The relentless exploitation of the Internet to recruit and mobilize terrorism. Okay. But can anyone show, has anyone ever shown, that this specific case, Peyton Gendron, was, quote, recruited and mobilized by the Internet? Well, no, in fact. By his own account, he was mentally ill. He snapped. He'd been planning this for a long time. He did what his diseased brain commanded him to do. The Internet did not make him do it. He did it himself. But even if Gendron had been, quote, radicalized by what he read on the Internet, what then exactly? Many have been radicalized by what they've read. Pol Pot was radicalized by reading Das Kapital. He went on a murder spree. He killed more than a million people. Should we ban that book? Should we ban all books, all Internet sites that, quote, radicalize people? What exactly is Joe Biden saying here? Well, he's saying that thanks to what happened in Buffalo over the weekend, you no longer have any rights at all, including the most basic, which is to read what you want. After nullifying the First Amendment, Joe Biden moved to the Second Amendment.
The venom of the haters and their weapons of war, the violence in the words and deeds of that stalk our streets, our stores, our schools. This venom, this violence cannot be the story of our time. But there are certain things we can do. We can keep assault weapons off our streets. We've done it before.
So because a mentally ill 18-year-old used a specific rifle to commit these crimes, you can't have that rifle. Now, Joe Biden's bodyguards can have that rifle, so can Nancy Pelosi's, and of course they do. In fact, you pay for it all. But they're important, and you are not, so you can't. So because the people in charge failed to protect shoppers in Buffalo, you're not allowed to defend your family, despite the fact you may believe your family's every bit as important as Joe Biden and his family, and Nancy Pelosi and her family.
So what is Tucker talking about? He's talking about the fact that our leaders, and it doesn't matter what country you live in. I'm talking about America because that's where I live. But maybe you live in Europe or Asia or the Middle East or Africa or North or South America. You know that your leaders do not have your best interests at heart. And the causes that they choose to champion and the causes that they choose to protect are the ones that preserve their power base. Why do you think here in America we have these senators and Congress people who were serving for 20, 30, 40 plus years at a time? And there is no term limits in the Congress or in the Senate. And you're never going to see term limits in the Congress or in the Senate. Because once they get power, they will do absolutely anything to maintain that power, to keep that power. And, you know, that's what George Orwell was talking about in his book 1984. He talked about the idea of power for the sake of power. And that's exactly what his book was talking about. He says, power is in tearing human minds to pieces and putting them together in new shapes of your own choosing. He says, doublethink means the power of holding two contradictory beliefs in one's mind simultaneously and accepting both of them. And this is the world that we live in. And this is the government that we find ourselves living under. Orwell said in 1984, power is not a means, it is an end. One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes the revolution in order to establish the dictatorship. There's a difference there. He says the object of persecution is persecution. The object of torture is torture, and the object of power is power. And what we see in places like America and in Europe, and in the Middle East, absolutely, is that once people get into power, they do not want to let that power go, and it becomes almost nothing about safeguarding the people that they're supposed to be leading, but simply in, why do you think in every dictatorship, you always find the people at the very, very top, and they're living in absolute, unbelievable splendor. Muammar Gaddafi from Libya, he lived in a $50 million palace, and he had servants and all sorts of stuff. And Libya is a very poor country, but not the people at the top. And when you go to places like Venezuela, and Cuba, places with very high poverty levels, the people at the very, very top are living in palaces and they're eating the best possible food, while the vast majority of the general population are living a hand-to-mouth existence. I watched a video about Cuba, I guess about a year ago, and these two guys went down there and they snuck a video camera into the local gas stations and grocery stores, and you would see entire shelves, entire aisles with one product on it. You know how, like, if you go into a Publix here in Florida and you'll go to the cereal aisle, and there will literally be 50, 60, 70 different types of cereal. More cereal than you would ever possibly want to consider. And it is like that on every single aisle. And the aisles are really big, really wide, and really long. But you go to Cuba, you see one type of penne pasta, and the entire aisle from front to back is nothing but packages of that same type of penne pasta. And that's what it's like when you live in poverty. But the people who are putting you in that poverty, they never live like that. And you'll never see them living like that, because the object of power is power. And these people will do absolutely anything to get their hands on it, and then once they have it, to keep it. George Soros, he is, well, we haven't been hearing much from him lately. He's pushing 90 years old, but he has faithfully groomed his son, Alexander, and he's starting to bubble up to the surface, and he's going to inherit all of the money of his daddy, George. And the nonsense is never going to stop. Somebody asked me the other day, when do we get a breather? There is no breather. There is no rest. This is where we are. This is war. But it's not a conventional war. It's a spiritual war. I was talking with somebody about a week ago, and they were talking about, isn't it wonderful how the Apostle Paul uses the metaphor of being a soldier, talking about Christians? I don't know what Bible they were reading, but I don't see a metaphor at all. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's no metaphor. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a similitude of a soldier. No, doesn't say that. Has chosen him to be a metaphoric soldier. No. Who has chosen him to be a soldier in type. No. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Now, go from 2 Timothy chapter 2, go to Revelation chapter 19. Let me show you Christian soldiers. Revelation, let's get the context, just so that there's no confusion. Revelation 19:7. Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Okay, here we are. This is, if you're saved, this is me and you at the marriage of the Lamb. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. All right, that's the context. Now look down in verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now look down in verse 14 of Revelation 19. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. The Bible says that white, clean, fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And do you see in Revelation 19:14 the armies which were in heaven? Well, why do you think Paul calls us soldiers? You can't have an army without soldiers. It's not a metaphor. It's not a similitude. It's not a type. It's not a picture. When Paul says that we are soldiers, we are absolutely soldiers in the army of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. Now, Bill Gates, on his YouTube channel called Gates Notes, he just published a video just a couple of days ago talking about a beautiful new COVID vaccine facility that just popped up in Abu Dhabi. Take a listen.
We're in Abu Dhabi in the UAE looking at a big vaccine warehouse. It's very modern. It's got a lot of great refrigeration capacity. Things are tracked very well. It's impressive to see millions of COVID vaccines all in one place and think we're trying to deliver billions of these vaccines. Most vaccines spoil at room temperature. And so depending on the vaccine, it either has to be below 8 degrees or it might have to, like some of the newer vaccines, be even colder. Figuring out how to get them in the countries and getting them out into the rural areas is very difficult. As things get very complex, overwhelming the refrigeration capacity in some countries, having an intermediate stop like this can help a lot. The logistics are important, particularly where you have vaccines that expire in a short period of time. Vaccines save lives. Having vaccines here ready to go shows people have really stepped up for this pandemic.
Now, you can go to YouTube, you can go to Bill Gates' channel called Gates Notes, and you can see that video for yourself. And when you look at the images in that video, you will see a massive, huge, gleaming, brand new facility that is stocked to the rafters with millions and millions and millions of units of the COVID-19 vaccine. So if you think that this thing is going away, if you think that they're going to back off on the vaccines, they're just reloading is what they're doing. Nothing has stopped. Nothing has changed. They are simply reloading. And let's see what they do with the monkeypox. Let's see where that actually winds up taking us. The headlines here in Florida, the first case of monkeypox in the United States has shown up in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, about 4.5 hours south of where we are here in St. Augustine. But you go to the Drudge Report and let's see how many people, just so that you can see how influential the Drudge Report actually is. Now, he's gotten very liberal in the last 2 years. But in the last 24 hours, the Drudge Report has been visited 20,647,187 times. So that is almost 21 million visits per day for the Drudge Report. You think that's an influential website? That's 10 times, 100 times more people, 1,000 times more people than go to CNN. And when you go to Drudge Report right now, monkeypox spotted in Florida, monkeypox spreading through sexual contact, Belgium forces quarantines, isolation for 21 days, World Health Organization warns against mass gatherings, next vaccination push, conspiracy theories swirl in China. This is big business, people. This is big business. And here we have a site called metro.co.uk. The European Center for Disease Prevention and Control has told the European states to prepare strategies to counter the spread of monkeypox, including vaccinations. In a report published today, they said countries in Europe should update their contact tracing mechanisms. There it is. Their diagnostic capacity for orthopox viruses and to review the availability of smallpox vaccines and antivirals and personal protective equipment, PPE, for health professionals. It advises that the government should review the types, doses, and authorization status of vaccines in case they need to be deployed. This is monkeypox we're talking about. Not talking about COVID, we're talking about monkeypox. And the homepage, well, the only page, but the homepage on one of the world's most visited news websites, 7 different headlines about monkeypox. This is where they're putting all their effort. This is where they're putting all their energy. Somebody asked me in the chat room at the start of the broadcast today, so do we have to start a new timeline? No, we don't start a new timeline because the original timeline has not come to an end. And go back and listen to the podcast from a year and a half ago, from 2 years ago, and you'll hear me say repeatedly that this is not going to end. And people have said to me, well, that's a very big statement to make, brother. Not going to end ever? Well, here we are 798 days later. I bet for most of you, that's about 100% more than you thought we were going to have. But this is the way it's going. This is what's happening. It is monkeypox that we're talking about. That's the big thing right now. It is monkeypox. But for you and I who are saved, we don't need to worry about that. We don't need to worry about COVID. If you're born again, you know that your future is in heaven. And you know that you're not going to die 1 second sooner than the Lord says that it's going to be your time. I was exposed to dozens and dozens of active cases of COVID for over 2 years before I finally caught it. And when I caught it, I felt terrible, but I still functioned. I didn't spend one day in bed more than I normally sleep. I was tired. I was too tired to do the podcast. I was too tired to think about the Bible study. I was absolutely exhausted. And that lasted for about 3 or 4 weeks. But God got me through it. Have you ever driven in fast-moving, heavy traffic? Have you ever had like a near collision? And you say to yourself, how is it even possible that I got home safely? Well, it's possible because God got you home safely. And you know, with one of the things that this pandemic has either brought you closer to God, whether you're saved or lost, or it has brought you farther away from God, whether you are saved or lost. You know, Job said this when Mrs. Job said, curse God and die. Even she turned on him. Job chapter 2. Job 2:9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. You know what Job said? But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Job went on to say that though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation. And one thing that we need to remember, because like, look, when we do programs like this, it really, really depresses some people. And I understand that. Sometimes these programs, they depress me a little bit. Sometimes it catches up with me and I get overwhelmed. You've heard me do programs where I just can't contain myself from holding back tears. And sometimes it just overwhelms me. And then God takes me off to the side for a little bit and he refreshes me. Just like He'll refresh you if you're saved, and he'll take you off to the side for a little bit if you're saved, and he'll feed you from the bird's mouth by the brook where you can get yourself a little bit of rest. But then when you've been fed and rested, you got to get back in the game. You got to get back in the fight. One of the things that I said during my message at the camp meeting on Saturday was that you can retire from an earthly job, from a secular job. Maybe you're a school teacher, or you're a janitor, or you're a truck driver, or you own a small business, or you work in corporate America. Whatever you do, you can absolutely retire from that job. No question about it. No problem. Here's your gold watch. Have a great sunset. But that's not the case if you are born again, and we have been given a charge from the Apostle Paul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says to Timothy, that I charge thee therefore before God. Now, Timothy represents, he's a type of the church. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. When does that end? It doesn't. There is no retirement for the born-again Christian soldier on the front lines of the end times. There is no quit until the Lord quits you. So you have to set your mind that we are here to do a job, we are here to represent the King, and we are here to preach the glorious gospel of the grace of God so that lost people might get saved, and saved people might be called to remember that they have a job to do. And that's part of what we do here at Now the End Begins. We preach and teach the gospel of the grace of God. We invite lost people to get saved, and we invite saved people to join us in this end times fight. Over the weekend, we had about 6 rolls of paper that were pledged. And that's great. That's going to print another, 3,000 Bibles. And I'm very, very grateful for all of you who prayed about this weekend, for those of you who donated to the Bible program, for those of you who showed up, and for those of you who stayed home and just lifted everybody up in prayer. Thank you. Thank you very much. It is very much appreciated. Lori and her family will be moving here in just a couple of weeks, and Gail Comfort started a GoFundMe fundraiser to help them with moving expenses. If you'd like to help out, just go to GoFundMe.com and type in Move Lori, and you'll get the fundraiser that Gail Comfort started for her. And if you can't donate, pray for her. But she is our sister, and we'd like to help her any way that we can. And just keep Lori and her kids in your prayers. They're getting ready to travel back to Maine to pack up their stuff, and then they're coming right back down here in a couple of weeks. And Lori's going to be working at the bookstore, and she's very, very much looking forward to all that. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for being part of the NTEB global family of Bible believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we're going to see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our NTEB Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great week, everybody.
Is there words for him? Then I don't have them. You see, my brain has not yet reached a point where it can form a thought that could adequately describe the greatness of my God. And my lungs have not yet developed the ability to release a breath with enough agility to breathe out the greatness of his love. And my voice, you see, my voice is so inhibited, restrained by human limits, that it's hard to even send a praise up. You see, if there are words for him, then I don't have them.
my God, his grace is remarkable. Mercies are innumerable. Strength is impenetrable. He is honorable, accountable, favorable. He's unsearchable yet knowable. Indefinable yet approachable. Indescribable yet personal. He is beyond comprehension, further than imagination. Constant through generations, King of every nation. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. You see, my words are few. And to try and capture the one true God using my vocabulary would never do. But I use words as an expression of worship to a Savior who is both worthy and deserving of my praise. So I use words. My heart extols the Lord, blesses his name forever. He has won my heart, captured my mind, and has bound them both together. He has defeated me in my rebellion, conquered me in my sin. He has welcomed me into his presence, completely invited me in. He has made himself the object of my sight, flooding me with mercies in the morning, drowning me with grace in the night. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. But what I do have is good news. For my God knew that man-made words would never do. For words are just tools that we use to point to the truth. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, as the word, living proof. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, giving nothingness formation. And by his word he sustains in the power of his name. For he is before all things, and over all things he reigns. Holy is his name, so praise him for his life. The way he persevered in strife, the humble Son of God becoming the perfect sacrifice, praise him for his death. That he willingly stood in our place, that he lovingly endured the grave, that he battled our enemy and on the third day rose in victory. He is everything that was promised. Praise him as a risen king. Lift your voice and sing, for one day he will return for us and we will finally be united with our Savior for eternity. Eternity. So it's not just words that I proclaim, for my words point to the word, and the word has a name. Hope has a name. Joy has a name. Peace has a name. Love has a name. And that name is Jesus Christ. Praise his name forever.